Hello, the internet, and welcome to season 117, episode 2 of Der Daily Zeitgeist, yeah. A production of iHeartRadio. This is a podcast where we take a deep dive into America's shared consciousness and say, officially off the top, hey, fuck the Koch brothers and fuck Fox News. It's Wednesday, January 22nd, 2020. My name is...
Still getting used to that.
Still having trouble. My name is Jack O'Brien, a.k.a. Rudy, please take my number. Your podcast must be mine. Rudy, but dial my number. 8675 Jack O'Brien.
Wow.
Courtesy of Crispy Meme Donut. Christy, I'm a Gucci main, and I'm thrilled to be joined by my co-host, Mr. Miles Gray.
He's gone for the exacta because this is another AKA string out from Christy Yamaguchi main, AKA Crispy Meme Donut. I'm Miles Gray, AKA Pat Thick Mahomes, Andy Weed and the Kansas City Chiefs versus Ryan Tannehill, Mike Grable, and the Tennessee Titans.
I
don't know what any of those words mean except for the ones that had to do with weed.
I think Mike Grable is actually his name.
I know, but I think you have to lean into the fact that it's great.
Grable. Yeah. Got it. Okay. Well, love it.
Thank you so much, Crispy Meme, for that one.
Yeah, and now we have probably a Super Bowl one ahead of us.
Is that the Super Bowl?
No, that was the game to get to the Super Bowl, and the Chiefs
And the
won.
Other one, I thought I
the
was...
The Chiefs won.
I thought it was 1993, because I was like, hold on, the Niners and the Packers? What's going on here? Is that Favre versus Steve Young?
you're putting your glasses up and down.
Yeah, my flip glasses, and I put down clearly Canadian I was drinking.
Well, we are thrilled to be joined in our third seat by the hilarious and talented Mr. Greg Hess.
What's going on, guys?
What's up, Greg? Welcome.
What's up? Is there people still saying that? What's up?
But once more with feeling, Greg.
What's up? I was trying to bring it back to the 90s Super Bowl vibe. Yeah, and so, what's up?
I need more tongue wagging at the
right.
end of it.
That's right. Real Budweiser skills there.
That's the follow through.
Were nice all those here. Guys a comedy group or something? Or they were
I have no
people?
Idea.
Those guys were ad people that thought they were a comedy group.
Right.
Yeah.
Which is how the Sonic guys launched that campaign.
That is exactly right.
Yeah.
I know many of those Sonic guys.
Do you?
Yeah.
Really?
They're all Chicago comedy people that lucked into those long improv spots.
Yeah. Hell yeah. Greggy from Chicago?
I'm from Virginia originally.
Got it.
But I lived in Chicago for a long time then. Moved westward.
What part of Virginia?
I'm from Shenandoah Valley.
Right there on the river recently.
Really?
Yep. Rileyville.
Really?
Yeah.
That's right.
Almost went to Luray.
Hooray for Luray was a rival high school of mine.
I was. Someone schooled me because I was with somebody from Maryland and they said Luray Caverns.
Yeah, Luray.
And they're like, no, no, sir. You're in Virginia. It's Luray.
It is Luray. Like, okay. And there's a big cavern there you can get lost in.
Yeah. Hold on to those stalagmites.
That's right.
Or stalactites. Hold on tight to a stalactite. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's the one from the got it.
Is that right?
Yeah, and then the stalagmite touch the ceiling.
Ooh.
Yeah.
I think that's the most useful thing we've ever done on this show.
100%.
Like, because people are gonna have that stuck in their head.
People are gonna think this is an NPR show now.
Just became a TED Talk.
Yeah. Well, Greg, we're gonna get to know you a little bit better in a moment. First, we're gonna take our listeners through a couple of things we're talking about today. There is some Space Force controversy that isn't about the uniforms. We're going to look at that. We're also going to mention the uniforms because they're wild. We're going to talk about Mitch McConnell. Wait, he opted for fuckery?
Yep. I know we were holding out with the whole impeachment thing. What's he going to do?
I know.
And then he kind of flip-flopped. Look, it's been a long day. Yeah, without a dope story to sweat to.
Yeah.
I think with this one, it's like it just shows you right now, now that we're in the impeachment, like full on, it's the trial, that things are like changing minute to minute. But who knows? By the time we say this, something else may have happened and it's all moot. But yeah, we'll tell you what we know at the time of this recording.
We're going to talk about the sequel to What About Bob? What About Bolton? yep.
Thank you.
All of this having to do with the impeachment.
Yeah.
I'm talking about impeaching this creep.
My soul was calling out for that. Thank you, DJ Daniel. We're going to talk about Hillary Clinton always dropping in at the most opportune moments.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to talk about the coronavirus, the most fun sounding potential pandemic in a while.
Yeah.
I think it's up there.
Really great beer, though.
Yeah, exactly. I wonder if the people at Corona are freaking out right now. Because they're like, are you fucking kidding me?
Oh, yeah.
Like, yeah, probably, right? Yeah, I was looking at the CDC charts as somebody with fairly young children. I've noticed a lot of people sick, and I didn't know if it was just me or if people are sicker this
just me.
flu season. But we'll dig into that, but it's not just me. People, there are more outbreaks going round, according to the CDC. We'll talk about Matrix 4. We'll talk about Prince Harry, a.k.a. just some guy named Harry.
Yeah, now. Yeah.
We're going to talk about Watchmen. We're going to talk about Andy King getting that bag. Andy King, the Fyre Festival guy who is going to suck a dick for Evian. And he might be turning that into profit.
To money.
Yeah. But first, Greg, we like to ask our guests, what is something from your search history that's revealing about who you are or where you are in your life?
I just was looking through, and the most recent thing that stuck out to me was I was Googling best karaoke duets.
Mm. Oh, shit.
Because I feel like when you go to do karaoke, which is not something I do often, you always think you know a lot of songs that you want to sing, and then you get there and it's really hard to pick one.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so I was at a karaoke party that was happening inside an RV. Have you guys heard about this?
Yeah.
It's a karaoke RV that goes around and you can rent it and invite all your friends.
Wait, Jack, you knew about this?
No, I didn't.
Oh, really?
Thanks for calling me, Miles.
I don't know. You were so quick. I was like, hold the fuck up, bro.
Right,
you knew about this karaoke RV?
Yeah.
Wait,
totally,
it's like a van you rent.
It's a mobile RV.
Got it.
Yeah.
And then...
yeah. And so they'll just pull up to wherever your friends all get inside. It's much too small for all the people that usually try to get inside it.
Sure.
And yeah, I know I was going to karaoke thinking I really am going to crush something, and then I freak out and then I inevitably pick something that doesn't really work. And I picked Maneater, which I thought, oh, this is a great chorus that everyone can sing along with. And then I realized the verses are pretty high, and actually the phrasing of the verses is kind of difficult.
Yeah.
So that didn't go.
Yeah, you got to get that.
It didn't
That's
go
all
great.
Falsetto.
Yeah,
so good for duets. I think Africa by Toto is
Africa's good.
But the reason you do it is because you need somebody to hit those harmonies with you.
That's right.
And that's where it depends on what kind of duet, because I like karaoke. It's like, do you have someone who is willing to be the bigger person, be like, I'm going to hit the harmony?
Are they going to go there with you?
Yeah, exactly.
Right. Will you risk it?
Will you risk it for the biscuit? Yeah.
So I picked Maneater, not a duet, and my wife wouldn't sing it with me. So, that's kind of how that went.
So when you Googled it, were you trying to find an example to like coax her into doing it with you?
Yeah,
like,
I was
look
trying,
how good they are.
Yeah, I was trying to like, hey, Islands in the Stream maybe might be good.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
And she just opted to go solo and did George Michael, and that went great. And everybody was pretty quiet for Maneater. So yeah, that was my most recent Google search.
Yeah.
Best karaoke duet I've ever seen. Two former guests of the Daily Zeitgeist, Carmen Angelica and Katie Golden did Suddenly Seymour at one of the cracked like year-end parties, and it was amazing.
What's Suddenly Seymour?
From
Little Shop.
Little Shop.
Oh.
Of Horrors. Sorry.
What is that, a musical?
Yeah.
That's why I don't know it.
What is something you think is overrated, Greg?
You know what? I'm going to go with George Conway right now.
George Conway?
Yeah. I mean, if we want to get into the politics, I'm a little bit tired of these heroes of the right, like Rick Wilson and George Conway, because I feel like they're getting way too much praise and attention now when for the last 25 years, all they've been
what
doing
you been
is,
doing.
Yeah, no kidding. And I'm a little bit, it's just, I guess I can go with any enemy of my enemy is my friend, but I truly am just a little bit like, let's give a little more attention to the people that were calling this bullshit out the whole time.
Absolutely.
Right. And not just the Rick Wilsons and the George Conways of the world.
Yeah, how quickly people forget.
Absolutely.
What these people were saying even two election cycles ago.
Right.
You know, and you're like, hold on. Just because you suddenly don't like your wife's boss makes you like the godhead of like the resistance. No.
I also think that Kellyanne Conway is anonymous. I think she's the one who wrote the book.
Oh.
Oh.
Is my if we're going to bet on horses.
Okay. Now walk me through that. Why?
Well, I think that book, which I didn't read. This is completely.
No, that's what we do on this show.
This is completely research from just Twitter. But
just from vibes.
Yeah. Just total
vibes alone.
Source vibes. Mm-hmm. I just think that, you know, their feud has never spilled out into the public. I feel like his stuff is so well sourced, and I think she's giving him lots of ammo. And I think she's also the most sort of like outwardly expressive in her support of the president, but really I just think that there's no way that marriage is possibly working other than it's either...
They got their eye on the bag.
Yeah, I think so too. I think it's either total cold war at home where they don't even acknowledge each other, or they're just like, well, we got to look to the...
There was a piece, I forget who it was, the New Yorker or someone actually did a piece on the two of them, like what it's like at home with the Conways. And they said it was very cordial. They just don't, they just do not bring up their work.
Yeah.
And that's how they, but again, that's...
Very graphic also, that piece.
Yeah.
I just think Kellyanne would be the best. It was so steamy.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Steam fest.
Yeah, I just think Kellyanne would be the one to go with. She's the most exciting one.
I would be the least surprised at her being opportunistic.
Totally.
Right, in that sense, because she's so willing to just sell her soul on TV to be like, I don't know what you're saying, even though what I know and you know what I'm saying is a lie.
Right. You'd think that the person who was doing this would have been kind of ferreted out by now if they were somebody who was even marginally critical of Trump and his administration, but because she, you know, goes on TV and communicates the only way that the president is receptive to via TV sound bites, just saying completely absurd
but you could things. Never but then you could never take the book seriously knowing that.
No, definitely.
You'd be
not.
Like, well, look, mother, hold on.
This, I had a very easy time not taking it seriously, not knowing that.
Yeah. Well, I'm just, but I like the world in which Trump has to experience that betrayal. And he's like, you really do be your own. She was right in front of me the whole time. I never even asked.
Yeah.
I know. We're in that post sort of, I feel like after the Michael Wolff book, it was exciting to have an inside scoop of the administration. And now I think better and better books are actually coming out about the administration, but I'm so fatigued by the details of it that I'm just kind of like, sure this Washington Post one's great, but I just can't do it.
Yeah. It's like, want to see another autopsy video? I got it the first time. It's all gross inside.
Every single one is a Dr. Pimple Popper.
Yo, the new one? This dude had it looked like a toddler in his shoulder.
Oh,
Dr.
really?
Dr. Pimple Popper.
Oh, man. I can't. Well,
just
boy.
Like,
I love
20
that
pounds.
Show. I'm nasty.
Yeah, Pimple Popper.
Yo, I'm. Oh, boy. I'll show you something.
Yeah.
That you were going to wish you never talked to me.
I'm sad I brought it up.
Mm. Yeah.
You say it three times, she'll appear.
What is something you think is underrated?
I'm going Korean spas.
Korean spas.
Somebody been to Wee Spa?
Ever been?
Oh, yeah.
So I go once a year to Wee Spa on New Year's Eve because I feel like it's a good sort of start the new year and get the body scrub. And I think like Americans in general just are like, you know, tall, pasty white guys like me are a little bit like uncomfortable with nudity in general.
Oh,
sure.
Huh. And I come from like a very sort of staid Protestant background. So
right.
Nudity was something that I didn't rarely experience even with myself. So I feel like... going to a Korean spa once a year and getting the full body scrub is...
I do that too. Then I don't have to bathe the rest of the year.
That's how it works.
Get it all off in one go.
It's also a good moment where your ego sort of detaches and you're just like, you know what? I'm just... This is my body and it's going to get screwed.
Yeah, it was funny growing up being American and Japanese, like going to... Because in Japan, you go to a bathhouse or hot springs, everybody is fully naked.
Yeah.
But it's weird how like my governance chip like would change depending on what hemisphere I was in. When I'm in Japan, I'm like, I get butt naked because that's what you have to do here at the shower place. Then I'm like cut to teenage Miles in a locker room, like using every manner of shadow and towel to cover his genitals. Like, no, man.
Shadow and towel.
Yo, it was a very...
an elaborate set of like fragile using masculinity. Shadow puppets to enhance.
What's that? It's like, that was a crow that flew by.
Did you see his dick? No, but no. I did see this amazing lobster.
There's a flying squirrel with a spatula. Going to... Those spas will definitely get you, when you realize too, especially being in a place where it's normal for everyone else, I think it's much easier to be like, oh yeah, fuck it.
There's one in LA that's Wee Spa, which is kind of the most popular, I think. And then last year I went to one that I would consider to be like more Korean, if there could be one that was like kind of like, okay, this isn't the super popular one.
Yeah.
And that one was funny because when I went to get the body scrub, usually at Wee Spa they give you like sort of a small towel to sort of cover yourself. This guy was just like, nah, man, up on the table.
Let's go.
Yeah, and it's relief. I mean, it just kind of felt like he was he was like a guy on an assembly line who was just going to like, you know, I'm going to take take this like, body and do what
yourself.
I want with it.
I'm not going to remember this.
Yes, okay. Truly.
Dude, my 40th one today.
I'm just going to be sanding off your skin. Which is the hope that I go into every nude experience.
Maybe they'll remember.
Maybe they'll remember. Yeah, maybe this is how I go down. And
all right, thanks, man. History. That's it. You're going to have to get off. And you're like, remember me.
Sarah McLachlan slowly swells.
Looking into each other's eyes in that one moment.
Well, he also came up to me in the spot. You get a number, and they call your number, and you go into the...
Like a car wash.
Yeah, it's kind of, it really is like a car wash. That one had no partition. The table's just out in the middle of the room, and the guy who came to give me the body scrub came up to me and said, 24, and I said, yeah. And he was completely nude and had just been using the spa, and then was like, all right, follow me. And I was like, okay. And then he threw on some shorts and started working. But I kind of like that the guy at the car wash is also getting his car washed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is 24 the nickname you go by?
Yeah, 24. Yeah.
John Bauer.
Yeah, I was a huge Bauer head.
Checked into any restaurant, hotel, or Korean spa under the name Jack Bauer.
Absolutely. Always looking for the terrorists.
How long do you spend usually? Like, that's one kind of notable thing about Korean spas is you can spend like days there.
Yeah,
right?
I like to go for the whole time. So like, or like, you know, 4 hours or something where you know, do the spa,
right,
put on the weird shorts and the pajamas, sure, go up to the Jim Jo Bang, which is the nap room.
Yeah.
Right.
Get a juice, read a comic book. I like the whole thing.
So when you say you go on New Year's Eve, how does that affect your celebrations? So is your way to go into the new year, like, are you in the spa when the clock hits midnight?
No, okay, I'll go during the day. Okay. Although just this year, sure, I was kind of like, that might be kind of cool to just be chilling in the spa when
just
I mean,
getting fully exfoliated.
Yeah,
three,
totally.
2, 1.
Will you remember me on the new year?
Greg, finally, what is a myth? What's something people think is true you know to be false?
You know, this was something that I just recently, I think I knew deep in my heart, but I was sad to find out. I love expensive sunglasses. I always buy myself good sunglasses. And then I finally Googled something about how all expensive sunglasses basically cost $6 to make.
Luxottica.
Yeah. All Luxottica, man.
Yeah, Luxottica runs the fucking game.
And it's like, I always buy polarized sunglasses. And I feel like in LA, you really need to have good sunglasses. I don't know why. And then, they were saying the polarized sunglasses cost $3 more to make than the non-polarized.
Yeah.
Right.
So I'm just looking. I don't need the brand name on them. I just want to feel like they're...
I'm loving those Versace shades you got on.
Yeah.
I will not take these off.
Yeah, you've refused to take them off.
These Dolces in my shirt and the Versace's on my face.
Are those real diamonds?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Those are...
So I was sad to find out that my sunglasses were all cheap.
Yeah.
And but that's that illusion, you know, that people are chased sometimes, and it's like, oh, but it says this word on it.
I know.
Right. But it's all one company. It's all that scene in The Simpsons where, or maybe it's Family Guy, where they have the mall food court with just one hose that just sprays from the same source. It's just different sunglasses coming out of the same company.
Are you good at keeping your sunglasses? Because I don't wear expensive sunglasses because I lose them all the time.
See, that's why I don't lose them, is because if I feel like if I spend money on them, I really keep them in a case.
Oh, it activates something in your brain.
Yeah, and et cetera, et cetera.
For me, it's just sunglasses are like any... it doesn't matter how expensive they are. I'm like, it's a thing I'm taking off as soon as I get inside. And then even with the painful lessons I've learned, the lesson I've learned is just don't buy the fucking expensive ones because you can't keep track of them.
I gotta take a note from that frugality book because I like dropping that cash.
Yeah. That myth, though, might have fucked everything up now.
That is true.
The fact that you debunked the myth, now you just will treat them like shit.
I know. Sorry, everybody,
what's
with your Ray-Bans. I know. What's
the
point even more?
$6 anyway. Well, how much
suffering
did you pay
from
for them?
Sunglass nihilism.
Yeah. Well, I paid $4.50.
Right. $4.50, Jesus.
You look cool while you do it.
Yeah. I think my record is 2 months for keeping a pair of sunglasses.
Mm.
Yeah. So
that's
even
bad.
Those foldable Ray-Bans you got?
Yeah,
you still got those?
Long
They're
gone,
gone,
man. Long
shit.
Gone.
So
even those foldable Ray-Bans, especially the foldable Ray-Bans, because they like fold down into a even smaller thing.
Yeah, like the size of a makeup compact or something.
Right. I also just can't abide by sunglasses that are advertising anything. Drives me crazy. So I just don't want any of that. Give me a blank pair.
Sure.
Uh-huh.
I just don't want my sunglasses to say Jewel or something.
Oh, mine says Iron Mountain.
Iron Mountain.
Yeah, for all your
document destruction.
Yeah, yes.
Yeah.
Great. They're great glasses.
They need you in Congress right now.
Yeah.
Let's talk about Space Force.
Yeah.
They were fun and whimsical.
People were people were going off. It seemed like if you were looking on the internet, everyone was talking about the uniforms.
They did not consult the Church of Scientology when designing these things.
No.
Because they did not look futuristic.
No, they were basically just the woodland camouflage you see for every other branch of the military.
Well, you don't know if they're going to go to the forest planet of Endor or whatever.
That's what many people were making jokes like that. They're like, okay, really? So are you going to see trees in space? Ah, ha, ha, whatever, you know, great, great, great. I think the big takeaways from that was just sort of like, look, no one is actually going to be in space, so don't think that that's your space fighting uniform. That's not how this works.
Yeah.
But I get it. It's just funny to have those takes on the internet or whatever.
You would have thought Trump would have mixed that up, though, of like, it's always a one piece for all the other branches, but he would have been like, we're going to make it a two piece. It's going to be like...
Well, like a flight suit, you mean?
Yeah, or yeah, like a halter top with like a, like some boot cut
something really
or something.
Cool. He's like, yeah. Do like Jargos, cargo shorts, but like with the fringe.
Yeah.
Like they're grungy. The other thing they were saying is like the reason it's the same, the only thing that we changed were like the badges and stuff is because it saves money because we're not out here trying to waste even more tax dollars on something ridiculous, trying to design an entirely new uniform. And they also just like, it's going to make sense. They're going to be working in tandem with other people. So they're all just going to look the same. Okay.
Right. We're kind of a ways away, at least a couple months away from having laser gun fights in space with other armies.
That'd be sick.
Unfortunately.
Can't wait.
Yeah. I mean, but luckily that one Call of Duty game prepared all of us for what that would look like with Kit Harington. And I think the robot rips your arms off savagely in that game. It's awful.
Savage.
The real thing our writer Jam was pointing out was that there was another controversy going on with the Space Force because earlier this month there were these Protestant like pastors. They were swearing in a King James Bible. And in this tweet, they were at the Washington National Cathedral. They were saying like, look, may this is the quote from the ceremony. They said, may this Bible guard and guide all those who purpose that the final frontier be a place where God will triumph over evil, where love will triumph over hate, and where life will triumph over Death Star.
I like that they went with King James, man. It's like, okay, you go with the flowery Elizabethan least accurate translation there.
They wanted the Protestant Bible. You know what I mean?
Yeah, man.
And so this basically set off a whole thing because then they said that this will be the official Bible, quote, where they will swear in all commanders of America's newest military branch. So this, everyone was like, what the fuck? First of all, I don't think they... this is not possible, right? There's not an official, is there an official Quran or fucking Talmud?
Shit,
anyway. So when they were, as many people from like Anti-Defamation League and there was like the Freedom From Religion Foundation were like, this is such an egregious violation of the Establishment Clause. The Reverend's like assistant had to come back and be like, we misspoke. We shouldn't have used the word official. It was just, it's just that we got a little too excited about it and we called it the official one. There is no official holy book that people will be required to swear in on. So, yeah. And I think once people were threatening legal action, it was just a whole, you know.
They're
thing.
Like, screw it. Let's use this Tony Robbins book I brought with me.
Might as well. I mean, honest, it should have been Dianetics.
Yeah, right.
Really. Like, if we're going to go there, Battlefield Earth.
The King James is an interesting pick, I think, of just like, I mean, that is a fancy ass Bible of like, whither thou goest into space.
Yeah.
Thou art, God is at thy right.
Yeah. I mean, I hope they take that with them into the brave fight against the alien life forms that are out there.
It is interesting.
Which are they also God's creatures?
Well, because all manifest destiny has been like some manner of religious fuckery and like we're going to be missionaries and convert everybody. Just the idea that that humanity like exploring space, like the thing that Star Trek left out is that they'll be doing it, trying to convert everyone to Earth God.
That's right.
Or just Christian God, I don't know.
Yeah. We'll see. What do you do at that point?
If you're the aliens?
Yeah.
I mean,
you just succumb, I think.
I have a feeling.
Yeah, probably.
You know what? Good point.
They're like, you know what? Thank you. We wanted to be converted, even though we don't even have the same. Okay, whatever
I think that's the lie that Star Trek tells us, which is like everything in the future will be decided by rational discourse between interplanetary beings. And it's like, wow, we've really not fulfilled that promise at all.
Could you imagine, like, if we did, we were far enough technologically where there was such a thing as people doing, like, interplanetary missionary, like, missions, like, trying to be like, you know what, we're going to convert the people of Europa.
Yeah.
or whatever's there.
Like,
we're going to go.
I got to go for 2 years to Pluto, and it's my mission.
Oh, my God, right. That long? No, it takes 2 years to fucking get there.
Yeah.
Then right. I'm there for six.
Still got to wear this white shirt and black tie with a name tag.
But there is something inherently, I get not atheist, but sort of agnostic about the idea that you're going into space. So, like, you would have to, like, sort of enforce this sort of thing if you are a conservative politician who's, like, at the forefront of the mission into space, like, because, I don't know, that seems like
that's... last frontier, man.
Right, it's the last frontier. It's if... It would be the immediate problem if alien life is discovered. If, like, all those UFOs, it turns out.
Right.
Yeah, no, they've been visiting us since the 50s. I would say that would be at the top of the list.
Or they'd be like, nah, this is probably some Buddhist alien.
Right.
Christian aliens would never do this.
Right. But I feel like if they are keeping it a secret, that would be at the top of the list. That, like, just too many people's worlds would just be completely exploded by... That
I feel like Trump. I mean, there's no way that the alien thing could be known by the upper levels of government, because Trump would brag about that immediately.
Oh, hell,
like,
yeah.
I found the aliens.
He's like, it's great. They have this one alien. He just beat the shit out of him. Yeah. It doesn't hurt him, but he bleeds like a person.
Yeah, he will want to brag about that. He can't keep a secret.
My little hands getting that work.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back. And we're back. And Mitch McConnell. So the impeachment trial started yesterday.
Girl, I'm talking about impeaching this creep.
Unsurprisingly, Mitch McConnell went hard in the direction of just, like, let's get this thing over with. Maybe we can have him acquitted by the end of the week type shit.
It was dark.
Yeah.
I mean, this shit was dropped on Monday night. Like, in the shadows, being like, all right, here's the procedures. And some of the highlights, okay, people woke up on Tuesday morning reading, wait, this is what McConnell has outlined. The main takeaways from the first draft was, one, the Senate is not going to automatically enter the House evidence into the trial record.
Yeah, why would they?
So, no evidence. Don't need it, because this is a trial where the person's innocent, and the evidence will only prove that he's not innocent. Whoops.
Right.
So that was and the other thing, the overarching sort of theme throughout all of this is, like, we're mimicking the same process as the Clinton impeachment. It's the same thing. But fine.
Was that something that happened in the Clinton?
This is not like the Clinton.
They definitely entered evidence into the impeachment of Clinton before the trial.
Their whole thing was, well, you know, in the 12 weeks in the House ones, the president was denied due process, so why the fuck should it happen here?
Right.
But he was off. Again, they're using these talking points that don't really hold weight legally or in reality, but clearly Trump is playing for the TV based on, like, the other people he has as surrogates now. Like, we are seeing the Jim Jordans of the world, but they're the people who are going to go on Fox to just say a bunch of wacky shit out loud to kind of confuse people. The second thing was that after the period for the senators to, like, submit their questions, the Senate will then hold a vote to even allow witness subpoenas. So at the end, they'd be like, okay, we can vote on the end. Okay. And then McConnell also said that he was going to compress the time where the two sides can give their, like, opening arguments into 2 days, where they get 24 hours total to do it. So the only way if you do the math, right, they're starting at 1 p.m. every day. If they have 24, they have 2 days and 24 hours. He was setting it up so the Democrats, when they're, like, getting to, like, the fucking meat of their argument, maybe in the 10th hour, 12th hour, it's going to be 1 in the morning.
Yeah.
And no one's watching.
Right.
Mm. And then when you also look at what the paperwork that the president's counsel had submitted, it was, like, 7 pages to the 144, 180 pages that the House managers had submitted. It's just very fucking lazy, and it just smacks of a cover-up. So I think while all of this was going on, suddenly there were updates that were going on throughout the day. First, we heard that, like, oh, Mitch is actually going to add a third day, so it doesn't have to be 2 12-hour days. They can, you know, they're allowed to go pee-pee now to try and convince people that the president committed an impeachable offense. And then also the evidence will now be entered into the record.
Oh, thank God.
Now, there's a couple ways to look at it, because if you're doing the, like, head in the sand, like, I only want to hear good things about what's happening, and I'm a Democrat, but I don't want to get like nihilistic. Most people is like, oh my God, look, McConnell's losing grip of his party. Like, he can't keep him in check. Look, they've got him to do all these things. Okay, that's one way to look at it if you want to be very optimistic and not acknowledge that it's Mitch McConnell. The other is that being a very stealthy fucker like he is, he could have been giving cover to people like Susan Collins or Murkowski's, the vulnerable Senate Republicans who are up for re-election, that they can be like, you know, Mitch McConnell really tried to have this unfair trial, but I really pushed back and I fought for this, and then he allowed it. So vote for me still.
I mean,
we'll see what happens there. But that I'm more of the belief that it could have been more just a way to give some kind of cover to these people, because the way the trial is going to play out, it's going to be an absolute cover-up.
It's taken Democrats a long time to learn the lesson that they can't learn every single time, which is that fighting, they always bring a knife to the gunfight and it never works. They always think that it's going to be these fair sort of logical arguments, and then they just get lambasted by sound bites, and it just won't. It won't be.
Yeah,
Mitch McConnell is not gonna. I have no patience with. I think the Democrats are doing a great job, but it's just, I think the outcome has been written, and if any of us thinks otherwise, we're really pie in the skying it.
But the rules say that it's a knife fight. So I mean,
yeah. But they brought a gun. Whoa, wait, hold on.
They brought a gun 20 times in a row.
Also, they have three Predator drones and an A-10 Warthog doing strafing runs on the Capitol at the same time.
But let it be known here that this is a knife fight.
It is.
They said that out front.
Wait, did I say gun to the knife fight or knife to the gun fight?
No, you said knife to the gun
fight. No, you said knife to the
gun fight. But the way they operate is they bring guns to the knife fight.
Yeah, they bring...
They do it every time, and then the Democrats are always outraged, and then they're being riddled with...
With lies.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's also, I mean, starting a negotiation out by... like putting out a completely unreasonable starting point is like one of the oldest it's called anchoring. You start by being like, all right, I'll give you this car for $250,000. And, the person's like, $100,000. And then you're like, okay.
Okay.
Yeah. Sold, sucker. It's a Corolla.
Right. Yeah.
2003. Corolla S though.
Yeah.
Right. So
pretty good gas mileage.
Oh yeah.
But I don't know. There's so many ways this is fairly transparent. But I'm sure there are people who, I'm sure there was hard work that was put in. I just don't know if it was predetermined from the start.
Yeah, I mean, because I think most people were like, of course he's going to try it. But, you know, it's hard to know because they're self-dealing and they want also like build in provisions too, where like they could just take a vote to dismiss at any time.
Right.
Right.
So, you know, it could be one of those things too, where I could also see Susan Collins doing her impeccable rendition of being Susan Collins, where she's going to be like, I agree with the Democrats. I agree with the Democrats. I agree with the Democrats. Okay. Time to vote whether or not he's guilty.
Right.
He's not guilty.
Yeah.
And I've been Susan Collins.
In the end.
Welcome to my TED Talk.
Been my night.
It does them good if four of them vote for, you know, it's just like, it's like what good does it do them to get reelected if four of them even cross the aisle to vote with the Democrats? They're going to get murdered by their constituents.
I think just looking at even how the president's counsel made their opening arguments, they were like laughing about it. You know, Adam Schiff went up and he was just like, you know, he understood the gravity of what's going on. Jay Sekulow goes up. He's like, come on, guys.
I know.
They're really trying to get the, because they don't like the outcome of the 2016 election.
Right.
And he did that stuff. But can a president really be impeached? I don't know. I really don't know about this, guys. I really don't know. It was like that kind of vibe where you're like, you're lying. You're already lying.
I love all the – I actually have kind of enjoyed the rhetoric of – I watched some this morning, and it is kind of crazy to even the Dershowitzes of the world being like, it's not – you can't impeach a president for anything. President Trump could give away Alaska to Russia, and you can't impeach him for it. And it's like, where are we getting these polls from of like what school
of thought? It's in the
Constitution. It's like, no, I think we could impeach him for that.
Yeah.
No? That's like what you were saying, $250,000 car.
Yeah. One of the other daily podcasts, one of the lesser daily podcasts, I forget if it was – I think it was – NPR, but they had Dershowitz saying what he's been saying about Trump, like basically you can't impeach him,
juxtaposed with
what he said about Clinton, which was like almost like
the antithetical.
Like if you had looked up the antonym for every thing that he said in the
Yeah, you wish that there was like one person who was maintaining some consistency through both that is a nonpartisan, where you're like, okay, at least respect you for saying Clinton can't and Trump can't.
Oh, I got to show you this guy's Twitter feed, George Conway.
Love that sucker.
So, I mean, one of the big sort of substantive pieces of, you know, what's going to happen when it comes to impeachment is John Bolton, who it seems like knows quite a bit.
Oh, yeah.
Has said that he would testify were he subpoenaed by the Senate. And we, how does all of this posturing at this point affect whether we're going to get to hear from John Bolton?
Well, okay. So if it does come to a vote and they do want witnesses, you're damn sure certain that they're going to want to hear from John Bolton or Mick Mulvaney.
Right.
They definitely don't want John Bolton up there because he, like you said, had a front row seat. He was so close to the court, he asked to get put in the nosebleeds because it was too much. You know, he was like, I don't want anything to do with this.
Right. Whatever drug deal they have going on.
Until I finish my book.
Yeah. Let me finish my book. And then also, but I feel like in his mind too, he needs to testify in front of there to get that moment that then he can launch his book off of, because if Bolton doesn't testify, that makes the book a lot less interesting, I think.
Or like, maybe it makes it more interesting.
Depends on what it's like, about.
Yo, this is where I tell the truth.
Exactly. If he really is trying to be a hero, I'm very skeptical because he's a Muppet with a war boner. And we got very close to some kind of armed conflict with Iran that he would have wanted. But again, you know, we shall see. He's got a book to sell, and never underestimate someone's greed.
Yeah.
But yeah, if he does testify, the White House is very, very concerned. And one of the options they're trying to, or that's been floating around apparently on the Hill, is essentially having his testimony move to like a SCIF. Like, so it's a classified setting where like there's no way reporting is getting out of there. Unless it's probably from a transcript, but even then they're going to argue that there's national security implications, which is why it has to be classified, and essentially be like, yeah, you're not going to see what he said.
Yeah.
Right. And then we'll just vote based on what he said. No one can say what he said.
SCIF sales are going to go through the roof.
Oh, yeah.
For at home SCIFs.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I've kind of always wanted one of those.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, you can just use a pop tent and a white noise machine and then just whisper inside, and you got your own version of a SCIF.
My napping SCIF.
Mine has rain sounds.
Yeah, rain noise.
But yeah, I think this would be obviously absolutely a total, again, I mean, we're just seeing abuse of power upon abuse of power. Right. And this is another, you know, they're like, okay, fuck it. If he's going to testify, make sure no one even knows that it happened. Right. Or hears about it.
And then he'll go back to being a walrus somewhere.
Yeah. But again, when you're innocent, right, you don't need witnesses and shit, because all people who have been wrongly accused have proven their innocence by having no evidence that showed that.
Right. Like, and just making fun of the guy who's accusing
Yeah, like, him. Even if you just even tried to lay it out, obviously you can't have a rational discussion about impeachment with someone who's fully Team Trump. But if you were to just say, hey, man, if you were wrongly accused, let's say, of a crime, right? Wouldn't, and you knew you were innocent and you said, hey, my friend was with me at the Dodger game that day. They were shooting Curb Your Enthusiasm. I'm pretty sure if you look at some of the dailies, you're going to see me in the background. I did not kill this person.
Right.
You're going to need evidence to show that.
Yeah.
Which is the actual premise of that Netflix documentary about the dude who was in the background of a Curb Your Enthusiasm shot and got off a murder charge.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
He was convicted, and then they were like,
hold on.
He's like, wait.
Look at this Larry episode. David to the rescue.
Yeah.
But I mean, but it just shows you the basics of trying to prove your innocence. It requires evidence to the contrary of what the prosecution is laying out.
Yeah.
But if you don't want, then how can you ever entertain the idea that he's innocent? I'm innocent because I say so is the argument. Yeah.
They don't care. I think the only thing I do think one silver lining could be is if the House keeps opening investigations and keeps dripping that, just because I feel like they did this with Obama, right? Where it's just like, we're going to investigate your ass for anything. And rarely did anything ever come out, but that they would drag Obama's people to the Hill all the time to be testifying in any manner of thing. So I think even if Bolton doesn't end up testifying, I think he could testify in the House. And I also think that they should continue to just open investigation after investigation and keep it in the media, keep it in the churn.
The amount of shit that came out last week with Lev Parnas and all those documents and his interviews, you're like, what else is going on?
Yeah,
right.
But again, I don't know. It's clear that the Senate is not the venue for any kind of anything resembling something that is a trial. Not even in part. Like, it's not even a sham trial. This is just some fucking, this is straight up bullshit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, let's move on to Hillary Clinton. She is promoting a new documentary about the 2016 campaign. Is that right?
I believe so, yeah.
It's called Hillary. Mm. And
clever name.
Part of that promotion has included her speaking with The Hollywood Reporter about Monica Lewinsky and Bill.
Yeah.
But the
still loves him.
The real headline grabber is her take on Bernie Sanders. Yeah. What you have to say about Bernie Sanders?
Look, you know, she's taking a playbook right out of the rapper's playbook when you got an album coming out.
That's right.
Come out with a diss track. Okay, make some headlines and then people might remember you.
Yeah.
So the person conducting the interview asks her, in the doc, you're brutally honest about Bernie Sanders. Quote, Hillary Clinton. He was in Congress for years. He had one senator support him. Nobody likes him. Nobody wants to work with him. He got nothing done. He was a career politician. It's all just baloney, and I feel so bad that people got sucked into it. That assessment still hold? Hillary Clinton answers, yes, it does. If he gets the nomination, will you endorse the campaign for him? I'm not going to go there yet. We're still in a very vigorous primary season. I will say, however, it's that it's not only him. It's the culture around him. It's his leadership team. It's his prominent supporters. It's the Bernie bros, and goes on and on and on.
Mm.
I mean, how quickly we forget. She was out here thanking him. When she was like, thank you for all the work you've done for fighting the fight. Thank you for endorsing me. He was out here endorsing her,
yeah.
Even though he had plenty of reasons to be upset about that. He still was like, fine, I guess that's what it is. We got to beat Trump. But she's real. I don't know. It just shows you, like, her and the DNC think in the very similar ways. So they're trying to get there, I feel like, get as many things out about him as possible. But it's funny because on Twitter, like, I like Bernie became one of the top trending hashtags. I mean, obviously,
nobody
that's
likes
one
him.
Microcosm yeah. of voters. But yeah, it was a very interesting thing where most people were like, okay, you didn't need to do that. Like, no one needed that. Like, yeah. this didn't need to happen.
Doesn't
now.
It feel like the Democrats are always in a circular firing squad of some kind where you just wish that they would just go, you know what, we're just going to toe the line with whoever wins or... It just always, I always feel Republicans are so much better at this, just being like, we're lockstep. We're not gonna self-cannibalize. And I feel like Hillary Clinton, I just really wish she would not comment on it. I think just let the scrum figure it out.
I mean, I think there are people, you know, there were the Never Trumpers in 2016 who were like, this guy's terrible and he has bad manners and therefore he can't be our nominee, but they are, you know, the main mouthpiece for them is Fox News, that is an ideological, like, instrument. It is thinking about what the best message is to put out for the right. And so they're putting everything in line. They're not giving a lot of, I mean, they did give platforms to Never Trumpers, but after it became clear that he was their messenger, they were like, okay, this is our dude. Whereas on the left, I think you have, there is the populist in Bernie Sanders and then the sort of more center establishment. But the center establishment does have like this relationship with the mainstream media that I think is going to magnify it a little bit.
Yeah. And just, I mean, my God, career politician. Like, are we for real right now? Like,
yeah.
You're from a dynastic. Where do I even begin looking at that quote?
Mm.
And again, completely unnecessary. And I think if anything, that might help Bernie.
Yeah, I mean,
for someone who might be like so, like someone who, you know, just like, wait, that's who Hillary Clinton's against.
Right.
Who is this guy again?
That's right. I mean, career politician. This guy is the son of immigrants who wrote erotica at some point, right?
Yeah.
So let's like not discount him.
Right. He wrote erotica, not his parents.
That's right.
Right. He wrote erotica about his parents.
That's right.
Yeah. That's not true. All right. We're going to take another quick break. We'll be right back. And we're back. And something called the coronavirus is upon our shores. The first confirmed case of a respiratory illness. It's called the coronavirus. I think it's of the same like family as SARS.
SARS, MERS, it's all those things. Upper respiratory thing can be lower respiratory if you're going to get really bad, turn to pneumonia, it can be fatal.
It started with animals and jumped species and to humans. And they thought that maybe it was, up to this point, the idea was maybe it was just being transmitted from animals to humans, but not from human to human. But that was just reported that that's not the case. Humans can transmit it.
Yay. So I remember like on Friday, there was like the news alert. It's like San Francisco Airport, LAX and JFK will now be screening passengers for coronavirus. And
yeah.
I'm like, what the fuck is that? It's... And then now the rumors or the reports are saying that it's even going to extend Atlanta's Hartsfield-Jackson and also Chicago O'Hare this week too, because those are just major hubs that they just want to make sure that no person is walking around with this illness.
Yeah. Pointing electric thermometers at travelers, just getting readouts.
Of, hot or not.
Yeah. Exactly. Oh, my God.
The real problematic CDC word. Yeah, that's right. Told you he wasn't hot.
Right. Yeah. And
so, yeah, keep your eyes peeled.
Outside of the Wuhan Medical Treatment Center, Wuhan in China is where it originated. There are... you know, workers dressed in full body biohazard suits with goggles, masks, and plastic wrapped around their shoes. And yeah.
Just a cough.
I feel like everybody's been sick lately. So it just freaks me out. Well,
so that's what I feel the same way. I feel like everybody I know has been sick. And like when I was sick and told people I was sick, everyone's like, yeah, that's going around, man. I was sick like 2 days
light.
Ago. Yeah, that's right. Corona light. But so I looked to see if there was a place where you could like track that. Are more people getting sick this flu season? And they just have like an overall number of how many people are getting sick enough that they're going to the doctors. And this year, so for the 5 weeks leading up to the end of the year, 2019, it was the worst year of the past 10 years.
Hmm. It was?
Yeah.
Oh, so on paper, verifiably.
Verifiably. And then since then, it has dipped back down to being the second worst behind 2017, 2018.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I remember that one.
Second hottest year on record? I think it's all climate change. We can just point to that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So, I don't know. We'll see, but watch out. Get your flu shots and wash your hands. I
think also, the coronavirus, what is it? Not the antidote, but the vaccine or whatever, one of the antibodies for it, through the roof, the stock prices. Hey.
So and mask makers, I heard.
Mask makers, rejoice. Ecolab stock buyers, rejoice.
That's right.
Rubber suit people, rejoice. Not the S&M ones, but the medical ones.
Although, would the S&M ones work? No,
I don't know.
Yeah.
Hey, anybody in the BDSM world, let us know. Do those latex suits also work in a biohazard? Yeah, hazmat.
Almost definitely not, actually, now that I think about it.
That would be there's a somebody... sick-ass cartoon, like comic, right. Though. It's all like latex suits, but they're like the fucking sexy CDC.
Somebody out there's got that kink. Yeah, it's a hazmat suit instead of a rubber.
Someone has completely like reshot Outbreak, so whenever they're in the yellow suits, it's all skin
like
tight.
Skin
painted
tight.
On latex.
They look like the bride from Kill Bill.
Hell
like,
yeah.
Yeah. Matrix 4 casting news. Ding, 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 ding.
Yeah.
What's going on?
It's happening.
It's happening.
I know they mentioned it first. They're like, okay, sure.
Right.
But they're serious. This is serious. Matrix 4, we don't know anything, first of all, about the script because, I mean, it ended so perfectly. I think.
Right.
I don't even remember. It was some Christ narrative, wasn't it? The motherfucker like rose up and then wasn't it? Yeah.
I mean, the whole thing was kind of.
Well, no, but they really like they were like, yo, if you had any doubts, we should just call him Jesus Christ.
Right.
Because he died and came back and then forgave our sins.
Died for
and
us,
then
put his hand on the King James Bible.
Put his hand, yep.
And joined Space Force.
Speaking like that.
And then turned one bread into many boxes of tasty wheat. Tasty wheat?
Oh, yeah.
Remember Mouse said that in the ship?
So anyway. are the Wachowski siblings doing the
So Lana Wachowski is writing and directing this one.
Okay.
And according to her, so everyone in the cast is coming back, like the big people. Keanu's back, Carrie Ann Moss is back, Jada Pinkett Smith will also be in it. But the reason we're talking about it is because Hugo Weaving, who plays Agent Smith,
right,
is not going to be in it.
Wait, what?
Yeah.
I mean, that's the big one. That's
so.
I don't know who the Kia whatever guy you're talking about is, but the Agent Smith is the...
Yeah, Quinoa Reeves.
Right, whatever. So,
apparently, the way it was written, Lana Wachowski wanted Agent Smith to be part of it. It all boiled down to Hugo Weaving. Essentially, he had another offer for a stage production of The Visit. And was but and then he was like, okay, I think I'll take it, but knew there was probably an offer coming for Matrix 4, so he tried to play this waiting game. Right. And at a certain point, it wasn't fully fully realized in terms of what the Matrix 4 was going to end up being. So he had to take this other gig and thought he could do both. And he was like, oh, I'm sorry.
He's like, theater, that's where the money's at.
I'm doing theater. Yeah, that's why I'm like curious. Is he? I feel like. If I was him, I'd bail on this because yeah. I want to play the character that made me super famous. Although, let's not forget he was in Priscilla, Queen of the Desert.
Right.
But also, I could believe that maybe he's so kicked up in royalty money from being in The Matrix that he's just like, yo, I'm just living my best life now.
Yeah,
like,
maybe he's that committed to the live arts, guys.
That's true, yeah. Aren't you in the Shakespeare?
I am, company? Yeah.
Yeah, so
I
you am. Know you know a little bit about the theater bug.
I do know of the theater. Actually, speaking of Keanu, he came to a show recently and did the most Keanu thing after the show, which was he came backstage and, you know, just the niceties of like, hey, man, thanks so much for coming. And he just goes, guys... That was wild. And, but said it just with the most, you know, like didn't say it was funny. Didn't say, you know, it just was like, that was wild. And we're like, thanks, Ben. And then he kind of left. But I was like, yeah, that's kind of all I wanted from Keanu is just him saying, that was wild.
It was like the sentence version of him just going, whoa.
Yeah.
But truly. Really. Like, that was wild.
Yeah, that was wild.
Can you explain what Improvised Shakespeare
is? Yeah, Improvised Shakespeare, we do a fully improvised play that Shakespeare never wrote. So we get a title from the audience, and then we improvise in the style of Shakespeare with, you know, verse and rhyming couplets and all sorts of stuff.
You can actually explain it, because to see it is like...
Unbelievable.
Oh, have you all seen it?
Yeah.
You guys,
it's
cool.
Wild.
It's
fucking wild.
It's wild.
Yeah. I mean, I barely know much about Shakespeare and iambic pentameter and things like that, but to know that you are improvising in this, like, it's... To do it in a way that feels Shakespearean, I think. Look, it's a feat.
It's a little bit of Shakespeare and a little bit and a heavy dose of Monty Python, I think.
Yeah. But, Keanu Reeves calls it whoa. Yeah. So yeah, he's not gonna make it into the next Matrix. So, you know, we'll just have to see. Maybe there'll be a new agent. I'm sure someone has to represent that sort of mechanism within the Matrix.
Yeah, it's gonna be Chalamet probably. I feel like Chalamet just takes over where Keanu left off, in my opinion. But.
One of our greats. Let's talk about Prince Harry, Megxit, the whole deal.
It's done.
Prince Harry has gone from Prince Harry to some dude, Harry.
Some fucking guy named Harry with the weird accent. Yeah.
Weirdly, he chose the last name Bustamante.
Yeah.
He's just a normal Joe.
He's like, if I could have any name, Bustamante.
Jablonski. Yeah, that's me.
Oh, I love it. So they caught him. I think he did his last official duty serving as officially Prince Harry. And now just Harry, and flew commercial to Victoria, British Columbia to meet up with his wife and child and dogs.
I'm worried for his immune system because a hothouse flower, you know, like just putting that dude out amongst the germs on a commercial flight, even in like first class.
Right. He's human coronavirus.
Right.
Yeah. Well, they have a photo of him exiting the plane and he's wearing a full hazmat suit. So he must have known how dirty.
That was an S&M rubber suit.
Yeah.
You're getting mixed up again.
Oh, you're right. Okay. I thought the ball gag was a respirator.
He does look a little bit amused by the whole... living like a person.
He looks like somebody who escaped a living situation that was causing undue stress on his personal life.
Right.
Sort of like, yeah, I got the fuck out of there. This is pretty cool. I'm just Harry now.
Yeah.
I'm sure they're living it up. Shout out to Victoria, British Columbia. Just a beautiful, beautiful place.
Mm.
So, you know, I will see my twin someday. Just want to let you know, Harry, if you're listening, start off with the CBD. and like low THC levels, and then start working more THC, and then you'll be ready to party with me.
Yeah, man. If he's living in BC, he's gonna be like in drum circles and making God's eyes in time.
With his like balding hair, he has like one weird dreadlock. He's like,
oh no! Yeah.
Oh my God! I'm just seeing him like such a clear fully vision. Falling apart. Yeah. He's like, oh, Prince Harry died months ago. Call me Siddhartha.
Hey, Siddhartha Bustamante is pretty
Siddhartha
cool.
Siddhartha Bustamante.
Hanging out with them this weekend and celebrating the vernal equinox.
Oh, but yeah, good Godspeed to him, you know.
Good for them.
And you guys were born on the same day, which is why you call yourselves twins.
Oh, I see.
Yeah. But I think there is something I think is kind of cool about this.
Yeah.
Am I the only one? Am I the only one on their side?
I think it's cool.
You guys rooting for the
Royals? The reason why this has been like the premise of movies for decades.
Yeah.
Like fish out of water, like really.
I just don't want to be a prince.
Yeah, exactly.
I want to be a regular bloke.
Or the president's daughter goes to live like a normal person with a secret agent.
It's every rom-com. Every rom-com and Christmas film. There are like 9 Christmas films about an undercover princess.
That's right.
Just trying to live it up in Chicago.
He's a Netflix film waiting to happen.
Yeah.
Although I don't know. I think I'm kind of pro-royalty. I feel like...
There you go.
Yeah,
Thank you.
I'm a dynastic royal
here
supporter.
Here in a monarchy.
Yeah.
This is a real division between the two countries.
Americans
are like, yeah, of course,
yeah,
like, come on.
Yeah, you hate
go
your
live
family?
On your own. Yeah.
Get the fuck away from them.
I forgot who I was joking with, but one of my friends said, us getting to Trump is now we know what the British feel like when they got King Ralph. It's like, yeah, I feel like that's, I think.
Has anybody looked to King Ralph for like
I feel like we need to.
Pointers?
I feel like a super forgotten little piece of pop culture that was strangely prescient.
I just heard a King Ralph reference recently on a TV show, and I was like, who wrote this script? Like, what are we doing evoking the memory?
Yeah,
I mean, that was John Goodman, right? Where
that's
he becomes
right.
the king.
Yeah.
And like has like an official, like a role, isn't it like a bowling alley that's like, oh no, you don't bowl here.
Now you know
what?
How we feel, suckers.
Yeah.
The Watchmen, or Watchmen, the HBO series, I finally got caught up on it while I was down with a stomach bug last week. Very good. And
no season 2, right?
No season 2.
Yeah, kind of old news at this point, but I feel like we need to say it because we love the show.
We really love the show.
And
yeah.
You liked it.
I really
now.
Liked it. Yeah, now that I'm up on it, I thought it was amazing.
Yeah, just leave
cool,
it there.
But but also like doesn't it feel kind of like you've been cheated with the way it ended? And not to give any spoilers away, but
I like how it, because you don't need to. You can take it however you want to take it personally, which I think is great. And I think we all know that God is a black woman. And that's sort of what they wanted to do, you know? And I think that's interesting. I think I just really like, because it was left, the season itself was so good and it was wrapped up very nicely, aside from maybe that like the last shot cliffhanger you have, that at that point, it doesn't feel like, I feel like a second season isn't going to even come close to how good this first one was. So
that's cool. I'm glad you're happy.
I have a question. Hmm. Everything they used, like the entire animal, I feel like every little detail was then like wrapped back around.
Right.
Except why was she connected to a elephant at that one part?
It just needed to be I don't know. There's a lot I think we're still trying to figure out. Like also, who the fuck was Lube Man?
You know what I mean? I know, Lube Man.
Oh, Lube Man! Remember Lube Man?
If there's going to be a season 2, it's just got to be a Lube Man. I feel like that's what I was looking for.
If we're going to do it, spin-off show, neat spin-off, Lube Man, what happened when he went to the storm drain?
I think the elephant had something to do with memory, right? Elephants have the like biggest memory, and then they were supplanting her memory with an elephant's memory? I can't remember now.
Yeah. Oh, they said it just had to be like living or something, living being or something, but it still felt a little bit...
Season 2, Lube Man and the Elephant. I'm telling you.
The greatest buddy comedy, but it's an elephant who's had all these traumatic memories pushed into their brain.
Yes,
because
that was the point. Was like, okay, let's purge your shit and put in this helpless elephant.
Right,
and I think it's mostly like symbolism.
Also, kind of baller that if you're Damon Lindelof, you can just kind of be like, if somebody else wants to pick it up, but I've done enough here.
Well, and that's what, and credit to HBO, because I thought they were going to be like, we did it.
Right.
Fire up season 2. I don't give a fuck who writes it.
Well, yeah.
Starring Danny McBride.
Get J.J. Abrams in here.
Exactly. But even then, they were like, you know what? We're glad, if that's what Damon wants to do, we're fine with that. If something comes our way or he wants to pick back up, we're here. But, you know, but
or
I'm sure
Benioff
they just say
and
that.
Weiss want to, you know, bring their...
God.
alternate history where it's Watchmen, but what if the South had won the Civil War, right. Which was their idea.
They're like, we only know how to make shows where people of color are slaves. So right. I don't know how I'm going to do. I don't know what we're going to do with this Watchmen
IP. It's going to be tough.
Yeah.
And then finally, I want to talk about Andy King. He was trending a couple days ago because there.
Andy King from
Andy King
Fyre Festival.
Is the dude from Fyre Festival who said he was about to go suck a dick to get a bunch like tanks of Evian, big containers of Evian water released,
like shipping containers, yeah,
shipping containers.
Not to be confused with Steve King, who's usually trending,
right?
And is usually saying something more about it, you know, taking tanks and
right
shooting, a shooting liberals,
guy.
Yeah, yeah.
But it, so Andy King has. You know, leveraged that moment and being like genuinely a fascinating dude. I following those documentaries, I was like, holy shit, I want to spend more TV time with that dude. But he so he has a reality show coming out. I don't know what the premise of it is, but
it's a game show, I think.
This is the thing that I didn't think even Andy could pull off. I thought it was like a viral stunt or something, but it looks like, according to people, there's an actual partnership with Evian. Andy King is not necessarily the new face of Evian, but mm-hmm. he is partnering with them for a special edition bottle that has the slogan, "So good, you'd do anything for it," on it.
That no, are we sure that's real? That seems so tasteless.
Absolutely.
That it's,
tasteless that it should belong to a water company.
Or, I was going to say, like, a bottled water. Late-stage capitalism at its
they
finest.
They both go down easy.
Full transparency, we were rehearsing that.
Yes.
Hey-o! We rehearsed the worst fucking jokes here.
Yeah.
You'll do anything, like, you'll suck a dick for this water.
Yeah.
Why don't they just say that?
It's just, yeah, he... Like, I understand people giving him a show because, like, he made himself, like, this weird...
Breakout star.
Yeah, breakout star of this very strange thing. And, you know, reality TV is not known to be, you know, it's a place where shamelessness thrives.
Right.
But
he's in his, like, 16th minute of fame, I feel like.
Right.
And it's not going
to...
It's not
going to
go much.
59
seconds.
Yeah. Providing... Like, the idea of them just... Going back, looping back to this thing where they provided water to the scam festival was not like a thing that made me want to drink Evian. It just, the entire thing evoked like lukewarm tanks of Evian water. Like to
me. Yeah, like it was just in your mind in that sequence, you're like, so it's just shit and like bacon in the sun,
right.
The plastic bottles.
Yeah.
I don't, but even then, it's just odd. Like, I just don't. I can't imagine for Evian being a French company, and they're owned by Danone, I think, at this point, because Danone owns, like, every fucking water company.
Right.
That they would be like, why would we lower ourselves to, like, co-opting the, like, memeable viral moment of this guy's life from, a documentary?
It seems like he should co-opt Fyre Festival back and put on Fyre Festival, too.
Right.
Yeah.
It would seem like a better use of the negative marketing that they're using. Just
right.
do Fyre again and have it be good.
Have it happen.
Have it be a cover of Fyre 1 where you're just making fun of everything that happened at Fyre 1, but it actually is a concert.
Yeah, it says, his quote is saying, "On the first anniversary, Evian is dropping a special bottle with an all-new slogan in honor of my infamous team spirit."
Yeah.
Ugh.
Because I was exploited by Billy McFarland. As a longtime Evian fan of both the water itself and the brand's sustainable practices, oh, wow, this is definitely a press release. I could not be more thrilled. Oh, wow, and there really is a thing that says so good you do. Oh, my God.
I mean, it's a real crossroads moment for Andy. I feel like he's selling his soul to the highest bidder, or maybe the lowest bidder.
This is a thing that we're seeing every once in a while now where, like, corporations just associate themselves with these, like, sort of wild swings of, you know, things that are just attention-seeking for the sake of being attention-seeking that I don't know if we should be surprised like that.
I think it's weird. Like, it's fine when KFC does shit like this or Taco.
Right.
I don't expect anything from them.
Right.
They're just, they are what they are. It's just weird when you have, like, a French brand where they're, like, thought of or the optics are, it's like the peak of bottled water, right? It's like, you know, Fiji and Evian are like the frivolous waters.
It's what the Royals drink.
Right, exactly. Right. It's the Queen's favorite.
That's right.
But like, but then to be like, yeah, man, water's like, then to suddenly be like, yeah, man, let's get in business with the with Andy King.
We like blowjobs.
Yeah. It's like, yeah, next thing it's going to be like, yeah, Evian, like, we know wet. Like, what? Like, what are we doing, Evian?
Yeah, I don't know. Like, I wouldn't be surprised if Nihilist Arby's, like, became the official account of Arby's. Like that.
Oh, that Twitter account?
Yeah, that wouldn't surprise me so much. But yeah, I guess there's something sacred about Evian. I think we all can agree.
Hey, at the end of the day, Andy King, secure the baggage, man.
Yes, absolutely.
Fucking
right. Shout out to him.
But also, please try and say something about their practices of draining the Earth's water for profit. Okay.
Greg.
Yo.
It's been a pleasure having you, man.
Guys, thanks so much for having me. It's been a blast.
Where can people find you, follow you, watch you?
You can find me at Hey Greg Hess on Twitter and all the social stuff.
Hey,
and, yeah, Greg, if you're ever at Largo, come see, or UCB, you can see me there playing there and with Improvised Shakespeare Company or Cook County Social Club. But I guess my big shout out is our podcast is called Mega. It's an improvised satire that takes place inside a mega church.
Oh, holy shit.
And it's real fun.
Nice.
We've had some real, real fun people on it.
Who do you do that with?
I do that with my wife, Holly Laurent. And yeah, I play an Australian youth pastor of the youth group called Climax.
Oh, shit. Climax.
And it's Climax, guys. Really fun. And yeah, so we have a third comedian on every week and they play some character inside the church. It's kind of like maybe if like a Christopher Guest movie was set inside a church.
Yeah, yeah.
So
yeah.
It's got a fun vibe to it.
Legend.
Check it out. Mega.
And is there a tweet you've been enjoying or some other work of social media?
Totally. I will give a shout out to my good friend and hilarious writer, Katie Rich. She wrote for Weekend Update for a long time, and her handle is Katie Mary Rich. But she had my favorite tweet of the Christmas holiday, which was, I named our Christmas lights Jeffrey Epstein because they definitely did not hang themselves.
There we go.
So follow her for those good jokes.
That would be like the ultimate dad joke. Hey, kids.
Yeah.
Call those Christmas
lights.
They didn't hang themselves, asshole. Miles, where can people find you? Follow you. What's a tweet you've been on?
Find me Twitter, Instagram at Miles of Gray. Also on the other podcast, 420 Day Fiance, talking about 90 Day Fiance with Sophia Alexandra. Some tweets I like. One is from Blair Saki, at Blair Saki. She says, all I want is for a man to cook me pasta every night while I get skinnier every day. Just hold on to those dreams. And another one is from Alina Smith at Internet Alina. She's quote tweeting a Newsweek article that said Hillary Clinton defends Harvey Weinstein Association. How could we have known? And she says, I was a teenager living in upstate New York and I knew.
Tweet I've been enjoying is from Lesbian Mothman. She tweeted, pronounces pineapples like Minneapolis. which I am going to try to incorporate into my day-to-day routine.
Minneapolis.
Can I get some Minneapolis in this?
I'm sorry, what?
Smoothie.
I'm sorry, what?
That's amazing. You can find me on Twitter at Jack_O'Brien. You can find us on Twitter at Daily Zeitgeist. We're at The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram. We have a Facebook fan page and a website, dailyzeitgeist.com, where we post our episodes and our footnotes, where we link off to the information that we talked about in today's episode, as well as the song We Ride Out On. Miles, what's that going to be today?
New music from Kruang Bin, a band from Texas that I've played a few of their tracks because the fucking vibes of them. They actually have a track with Leon Bridges, great vocalist. So the chill band vibes with his vocals combine, you know, their psyche surf rock vibrations on this track called Seaside. It's not an A side or a B side. Get your triangular vinyl out.
Was this
because this is Seaside?
Was this Kasingle designed by MC Escher?
He's a math teacher now. Did every math teacher have Escher posters in their room?
Oh yeah.
That like a thing every math teacher had?
I think it was
mandatory.
I think the public school system made it mandatory.
Zeitgang, let us know. Was the first time you saw an Escher painting, was it in a math classroom? Because I believe mine was.
Well, The Daily Zeitgeist is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows. That's going to do it for today. We will be back later today with a trending zeitgeist, and then tomorrow with another podcast. We'll talk to you. Bye.
Bye. God, get you in the heavens just for me. Just for me.
be waiting so long for a woman like you to make me feel so right. You shine in the sea of people, oh, this moment's so weak. Melanin lady, covered in all white legs, you're the baddest in the